You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1.
All right, so we got a big afternoon planned. Big afternoon.
Ready to rock?
Yeah, I think I'm pretty excited. I have a reputation around here of being...
soft?
Socially awkward? I think that's appropriate.
Actually, us answering...
With everyone except
he's
us.
Not, he's actually not looking for those answers, but he's not happy that I said soft and you said socially awkward.
It's just like what I said, any idea what I weigh? And he throws out 279. I'm like, God, that was an aggressive first guess.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. But those are tangible numbers. Like, my reputation, it's perceived... You know, it's in the eye of the beholder, I guess.
Yeah.
I tell you, my very first memory, and it was my favorite, is you came up to me and you're like, maybe Rod Smith doesn't kind of like me. Every time I walk by him, it's kind of gets weird. It gets a little bit awkward. 2 days later, Rod's like, man, that Brian Hayes, every time he walks by me, he's kind of weird and doesn't really want to say hi and puts his head down.
Yeah.
You tell us what your reputation is, according to you.
And I apologize if the word soft,
soft
came
is
across.
A tough one.
Yeah, because like that's a real, like that, can be,
a kick in the pills.
That can be perceived in so many
Here
different
I am
ways.
Thinking, I'm taking a red eye to get back to
do
the show. That
soft.
Ain't soft.
I apologize.
Soft means sniffles, you're not coming in. That's not you.
Right. And listen, I'll take a sick day off every once in a while. That will happen. But sniffles, I'll fight through. Like a significant issue.
No, you're
soft,
not soft
is not something I would necessarily... say that, you know, it'd be a part of my resume.
You're not,
socially awkward, I'll admit to that.
I apologize, because you're not soft.
No, that's a raw answer. That's the real answer. That's the,
it's you, not,
you've had
it's
a Mickey
of
whiskey,
of
and now it's the real things coming out.
By the way, when you do have a Mickey of whiskey, you are D-floor, anything, like, chatty.
Honesty. You're honest.
No, you, I'm talking you.
Oh,
both
I am. Oh, I have a great
some
time.
Cocktails,
yeah,
it's like you're the life of the party.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I would say my mood changes from time to time. Socially awkward. The problem with the hallways, I've told you this before, they are, how long would you say the one hallway is?
It's dreadful.
50 feet.
If you're walking towards Rod Smith or anybody here, it is so awkward to have legitimately a 30-second walk. It's a 30-second walk where you're staring at each other.
Yeah, but what's wrong with just giving a head nod? Hey, hot. That's
from
all
that
I say
far
is
away,
hot rod. Hey,
I do that. I do that. But I'm not going to stare. I'm not going to have a staring competition. The second I come down the stairs from Tim Hortons, the second Rod or anybody else turns the corner of the Sports Center.
Oh, that's 100 feet.
That's what I'm
saying. That's longer. I thought you were talking from here.
No, not from
to that
here to
hallway.
There. I'm talking the long hallway.
That's 100 feet if it's.
And that's
it's
what I'm saying. That was the accusation. Well, he puts his head down. Yeah, because I'm not going to just stare at you for 30 seconds. When I get closer, I do the pop-up, how's it going? I always do a head nod or say hello. Stop and chats, a lot of times,
you pull the phone out.
I was just going to say, I've got the move. You take a peek at the phone as you're walking towards, then at an appropriate distance, you lock eyes and go, how you doing?
That's right.
The problem that I have, and I won't ask for impressions of what you guys think of me, I have a problem with sometimes the names. We just work with so
names
many people.
Names are very difficult around
here.
I used to work with a guy at the NHL Network. He would have the earphones in, and he would always act like he was in the most serious conversation. So there was no chance for a hi.
Yeah, but then you didn't know his name. That's
no,
the
I
problem.
Did. I played with him.
Oh, okay.
No, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, it was always...
Yeah, he did pull that move off a lot. But... yeah, I mean, I guess I have a difficult time. Like, when I get in here, I'm trying to work, I'm trying to read or whatever. And because of our hours, like, I think people can understand this. Like, I've said this before. If you work at 9 to 5.
Right.
When you get to the office at 9, no one's talking.
No.
Like, I've worked 9 to 5 jobs, summer jobs, back in university. No one says a word till about 10 a.m. You've eased into the day, and then it's like, let's go get a coffee, and let's get started with... chatting, and then by the end of the afternoon,
it's full on.
You're having a great time,
but 9 o'clock, who is there? One person that's Mr.
Well,
or Mrs. Perky. That
I'm sure there is, but the point I'm making is when I walk in, it's my 9 a.m.
Yeah, you're miserable.
So I'm not miserable, but I want to get set up.
Who was it?
No, there's nobody. I'm just talking in generalities.
I think Steph hit a nerve because she said something like,
"No," but Steph is a good example. Steph's been here since 9 a.m. She comes to see me at 2:30 or 3.
But she just floats.
She wants to talk. Like, she's been here all day. I get it.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I'm trying to read an article. I'm trying to find out what's going on here. I'm trying to compare, like, Larry Walker's stats to everybody that's ever played the game.
Right.
And I just, if we got something to talk about, let's talk about it. But You know, I'm not sitting there and doing the full, hey, what's going on? How's everything going? Did you see The Bachelor last night? I got things I'm trying to do around here.
That's why
I don't think that's inappropriate.
But that's why I always tell her, take a lap, because we're busy and she's just looking to gossip.
I'm not here. I mean, Steph is just one example, but anyway, it doesn't matter. Now I'm painting a picture of being the worst person in the world.
Not at all.
That's not what I'm trying to do.
Not at all. You're a good captain. You're a good. What is it?
Just awkward.
Teammate. You're a good teammate.
Just awkward.
Soft teammate. But soft probably is appropriate in terms of my reputation. What I was trying to get to was because Steph actually did say this.
Right.
And maybe this did actually.
That's what rung in my head.
That she's like, I know you're going to be awful today. You're going to be in the worst mood on the second day coming back.
I told you that yesterday.
Yeah. Because yesterday I was running on adrenaline. I had a lot of things I wanted
to say.
You're
the Leafs right now. Friday, big time. Saturday, meh. Not so bad.
Yeah,
whatever. Sunday in Florida, they were useless.
I'm Sunday in Florida today. Like, I'm really dragging it. I'm trying to get it together here, but
that was what was in my head, is the perception that she floated is like, you're going to be so tired today. It's the two-day
hangover.
By the way, I forgot to ask you, your routine with your brother-in-law? Like, when are you going to be in the lobby? And then it's, I'm in the lobby. Where are you at?
No, I don't think so.
Because that's another one of your weird little routines. Night before, when are we going to meet in the lobby? Group text. Everyone writes back. 8:15. You're like, okay, good. 8:07. Where is everyone? I'm here in the lobby.
See,
I don't
that's
think it's
punctual.
That.
No.
Yeah,
he's a punctual guy.
That's a captain move. I'm trying to keep everyone on the same page.
That is a pretty good move. I'm a punctual guy, but like I'm efficient. Like that's because I travel so much. I know if I'm leaving at 8, it's 5 to 8. I'm out there. I'm not there at 7:45. Then I would leave at 7:45. Like I, you know, when I travel with Chris Cuthbert and Gord Miller, both of them work on their own timelines, so I just conform to what they're doing. You're more like Gord Miller. Gord Miller is like, let's go 4:45. I'm there at 4:38.
Well, if we have somewhere to go, which is what we do when we're on the road, if we're doing a show or something, I mean, it starts at the same time every day. And if we all want to get there and we all want to be in the same cab or whatever.
I'm just going to be there. I don't even need to text. I know I'm going to be there. That's why I always...
Okay.
But are you there at 4 o'clock or are you there at 4:05 sauntering in?
That's right.
And
no. That's right.
I'm NHL standard time. That's 20 minutes early for everything.
All right. Well, anyway, I'm glad we got this all out there.
I am too.
I'm not sure where I was intending on going with that either.
I think I put it off the rails by throwing the word soft out there.
No, but I think that is actually the appropriate term because that's what Steph was calling me.
I was basically saying you're
soft, and on day two coming back from a trip, you're going to be annoying.
You're Sunday from Florida.
Yeah, I'm Sunday in Florida against
But you have the opportunity to prove to Steph and Grappler that you're not. Have a great show and say, there you go. You guys thought this was going to happen, and it didn't.
And nobody's mentioned your glorious green coat either.
Well, it's a camo coat, which I've worn before. Like, I've worn this on the air
multiple times. Like, how come every time you guys show up with matching coats on?
I don't have the Masters cabin jacket.
This is just something a little different. I see different guys in the States that wear it. I got one. I'm really not sure about it.
You need a little Masters patch. And then,
if you had is it yellow?
Yeah, I believe it is yellow.
Yellow with like a red flag.
That would be outstanding.
I think we can find one here.
I don't know. Even Duffy, he's got a green suit, but he wears it like this with the blue tie. I'm like, this doesn't look that good.
No, I think it's a good
camo coat.
Mine's camo. I have like 4 jackets in the rotation.
Yeah,
that's about it for me. Like, I'm always kind of I figured I could use a couple more just to be able to mix in every once in a while. Like, I have, like, a black jacket and stuff. Like, you'll wear a black suit all the
always.
Time.
Black, gray.
And I guess I could wear that. Yeah.
No, it's good.
Well, anyway.
Sharp.
Yeah, I like that.
Ready to roll.
I was thinking about the Masters and, like, with the Romo contract negotiations. Like, because everyone wants him to be included, or most people want him to be included in the golf telecast because he's a scratch golfer.
I don't know how bad I want to...
I do. I'd love it. I can't get enough of Romo. I think he's outstanding.
In his negotiations, he could have that week off.
No, I could see him saying, I want to be included.
Plays men's league hockey. Why doesn't he do
color
with
men's league hockey and a scratch golfer? He's a scratch golfer.
Maybe he leads the league in scoring.
dude. Yeah. We were doing trunk slamming last year. He was in that tournament. He shot like a 68 on day one. Remember, he was beating like Phil Mickelson. He beat.
And then what happened the next day on the back nine, where I called you and said, "Watch every hole. Yeah. He's going to blow up. He can't make a cut on the pro tour."
He choked it out on the back nine of day two.
You called it.
But he was legitimately in contention to make the cut after 18 holes.
I guess if you want to see him, you should be able to see him, because there's other people that probably text you, because they text me or him whenever we have a comment on the Raptors, and they're like, "You play pro hockey? What the hell are you even talking about?"
Yeah, but
I'm like, there's some guys like you that didn't play any pro sports, and you talk about all of them.
That's right. I got an opinion.
That's right.
So,
and that's all I have too.
Yeah, but he's also an interesting guy. Is the point?
Yeah, like you just can't get enough of him. Right,
I think just Romo's very good.
And I think when he's talking about details, like when Johnny Miller was talking about the pressure of chipping, or he would not have that experience to comment on something like
that. Right, but Nick Faldo calls the Masters every year.
And he never says anything.
You can't stand Nick Faldo. He's won green jackets, so what does it matter?
Oh, goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
Right, would you rather that or, like, because Romo could say, "Oh, my goodness," but he would say it with more energy.
He would say, "Oh, my God, Jordan Spieth just chunked one and cost himself the tournament," instead of...
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's right. Johnny Miller,
he's gone now. That role is up for grabs. Who's going to have some energy and who's going to have some stones to call people out?
What was Johnny Miller's best?
I say Tony Romo.
Like, do you think Johnny Miller was one of the best as far as just being honest? And
he was my favorite guy as far as the golf. He would know all the little intricacies of how the ball would spin or where you have to hit it. Or, I mean, he kind of got a little bit crazy on the choking element. He loved that, but that's what happens in golf.
Like, he flat out say, "This guy just choked it off."
Well, that's what happens. I mean, it's an individual sport. You know a guy's capable of making the shot. You put him on the range, he'll hit that 100 times out of 100.
Yeah.
Do it with pressure at the TPC Sawgrass, and a guy floats one in the water. He's like, "That is nothing more than pressure. He choked. That's it."
That's exactly what it
that's
is.
That's not his club. That's not his caddy. It's not his golf ball. He choked himself.
And yes, Romo cannot say, "I've been in that position." What he can say is, "I've had, third and seven in a playoff game, and I threw a pick. And I choked." Right. Like, as an athlete, I've choked. I've been in this position with that type of pressure.
But here's the thing that, like, do you like about Romo, his play calling? Like, was it last year where he was the second half of one game? He flat out called every play call.
See, I think that gets tiring. I don't really want to know a guy with a genie bottle and be like, "This is what's going to happen every play." I'm like, what? Because you sat with the offensive coordinator and you know their formations or whatever. I want to see the analysis after, if you pulled it off, the effect of it.
Yeah, I mean, some...
Like, I don't want to hear, "Oh, here this is coming up." I'm like, come on, dude. Well, I guess... Is that your shtick?
It comes down to, if you're an interesting person, if you have something to say, if you've got an opinion, if you bring energy, if you bring some passion to it, I don't need to have someone that played the game to bring that, if you understand what I'm saying. Like, if you know what you... I want somebody that's competent, calling whatever sport it might be.
Well, Monday Night Football experimented with a bunch of different people.
They did.
Including a comedian.
And that
Dennis Miller was calling Monday Night Football games.
Right.
How did that go?
I don't think it went that well.
It did not go well. And they had Tony Kornheiser in the booth, and Tony was he's a writer and a media personality.
Yeah,
and
I don't
remember the reviews being overly positive. But Kornheiser, like, that's an example of a guy. I love Tony Kornheiser. Like,
yeah,
I love his show.
He probably couldn't wait to get back to his show. Or was it before?
It was during. It was during.
He was
hit
probably
the road.
Like, no thanks.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't remember the transition, why ESPN decided to move on. But ideally, you have somebody that played, that knows the intricacies of the game, that can speak to their own experiences. I mean, that's all part of it. But you can have that, and if they're dull, what does it matter? You know, Nick Faldo is a great example. I'm not here to jump on Nick Faldo. I don't even know why we're talking about golf right now.
Right.
But he's won, four majors, and he's a golf Hall of Famer, and you listen to him, and you're like, I don't know what I'm getting out of this. I mean, it's okay. He sounds good. You know, it's okay, but...
Well, I think a big element to that position for the guys in the truck is the accent. I really do. I've seen a documentary where the head producer or whatever is like, don't try to talk like an American. You have that job to talk like the English golf guy. You know Peter Alice, the guy from England who always comments on the golf, the British Opens?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone loves that voice, that kind of golf voice.
That's right. Well, soccer is the best example. Like, our guys are amazing. Look at our TFC broadcast.
Yeah.
You've got Luke Wallman.
Mm-hmm.
You've got...
Can you imagine tossing Al's brother onto that panel? They'd be like, brilliant, brilliant on the pitch. And
Al's brother would be...
Who's going to win this game? I got money on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it brings a totally different element to it. I don't know. I mean, ultimately, Romo, I don't even know where he's going to be working. Maybe he ends up at ESPN.
He's parlaying this into big,
but that's what I'm
big
saying.
Cash.
Like, with CBS, he could be like, listen, I own this whole negotiation. This is what I want to do. I don't even know if he wants to. He may have no interest in doing that. He may have no interest in putting himself in a position where the criticism is going to be there, because it will be.
Well, Nance might not want to ride shotgun with him at the Masters.
Well, that's right, too. I mean, Nance...
Who knows what his relationship with Faldo is.
Well, yeah, I don't think Romo would be the number one guy. Like, I don't think he would knock Faldo.
You could put him
up
on the hole like Phil Mickelson's caddy.
That's exactly what
I'm saying. Bones McKay. He goes and follows groups around.
Here's an idea. This is totally unique. Now, I don't know if the Masters would put up with it, because Augusta, you know how snooty they are, and they may say, I'm not accepting it. But Romo may be like, or CBS, just follow Tiger around. Romo, that's your guy. Study Tiger Woods. You don't think Tiger's going to sit there and talk to Tony Romo? Like, he wouldn't connect with Romo on the range?
If you're a guy like Bones McKay or Aaron Obenholzer or Justin Leonard.
See you later.
Justin Leonard won a major in
Who
golf.
Cares?
Don't you think he's going to be like, football guys following Tiger Woods?
Money talks, man. Yeah. If
no
Romo,
way. Dude, Tiger Woods, every single shot he takes at Augusta National, we get to look at it.
That's right.
And you want to bring a guy that calls football games to follow around and comment
on
that. That
absolutely. Every day of
no
the week.
No one agrees with you. No
every
one.
Day of the week.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm watching it, I want to see Tiger shoot. I don't know if I care whether it's Romo or, you know, I'd like Johnny Miller. I did like. But like.
You think Tony Romo knows how to hit a butter cut 4-iron from 193 yards uphill into a side wind with a green that slopes right. No, he doesn't.
Yeah, I do. I absolutely do. Do you think
Justin
Leonard didn't hit that shot?
Brian Hayes from the fourth hole here.
When did Justin Leonard hit that shot?
Justin Leonard won a British Open.
But when did he hit that shot?
Huh?
He was a right-handed Mike Weir. When did he hit a 200-yard 4-iron cut uphill? When
okay,
did he
Justin
hit that
Leonard
shot?
Didn't exactly.
Justin Leonard is a trunk slammer.
He is now.
No.
But, dude, money speaks is the point.
Yes.
Money speaks. If Romo, they're paying Romo $12 million, Romo's going to be calling, you know, he's going to be on soap operas for
CBS. They're going to get.
What if a guy like Davis Love, who's been talked about, what if he follows around Tiger Woods? He's our boy. He's been on our show.
Yeah, we like Davis Love.
But you just want Romo.
I'm not his agent.
I want Gary Player on there doing push-ups and being a hero.
That would be fun. We should put Romo on Jerry Player's bag at like a pro-am. That would be the move. I don't know. I'm just saying. I think if we're talking that kind of money, he's doing more than just calling football games. I guarantee it.
No.
Depends on it. He may
People
just
in
say,
the States make so much money, much more money than us doing what we do. Like in the States, it's quadruple.
But he may just say, I want to do this amount. Actually, I'm a young guy. I'm sure he's got a family and stuff. Like, he may not want to dive in. Like, I look at some of these guys. Like Michael Strahan seems like he works 7 days a week.
He's always working. Jesse Palmer.
Like,
you want Jesse Palmer to do some golf?
I don't know. Is he a scratch player?
He might be able
to. He's an interesting guy. Yeah, I wouldn't mind that.
You know what's weird?
I wouldn't mind that. Put him on a Canadian bet.
I think Ryan Seacrest will be on.
You're not a scratch golfer.
Well, when I'm playing good, I can be a scratch
from the whites at Weston, but not like a legitimate course. I mean, let's get real here.
Now you're on. Now you're pressing buttons.
I'm back, baby.
You're
I'm
back.
Feeling
See,
good.
He pressed
See, you're not
on
the Leafs on Sunday.
No, I'm back. I'm the Leafs on Friday.
You're the Florida Panthers is what you are.
Yeah.
Panthers are scaring me a little bit. Big win last night. Old Brucey Boudreau reacting in style.
The look on his face... If you have an opportunity to, you know, somehow go back in that game on NHL.com, watch when Trocheck scores with 4 minutes left. They pan to the bench, and there is a look on Brucey's face I haven't seen. I mean, we've seen the many different
he
looks
has
of Brucey's
best look on the bench. His little fuzzy hairdo.
He's the greatest.
I saw a look on his face that I had not witnessed.
I'll bet you if we could have seen him on the other end of the phone line last year when we were interviewing him, that was the face he was giving.
That's what it was.
Hello?
Yeah.
That was...
Hello, Bruce. We're here.
Hello.
He's looking at Alex Stalock in net going, hello.
Hello.
It's not I was
try to
Alex
get some
Stalock.
Romo clips and see if we can translate them into good shots by Tiger Woods, grappler.
That's a great idea.
Yes.
That is a spectacular idea.
And we'll see if it's believable. Like, see if you can come up with something where Jordan Spieth, our favorite clip, where he chokes away the Masters, and our boy Faldo goes, oh, my God.
Oh my
give
goodness.
Me something Romo would say, and Hayes can be like, that's exactly what I want.
That's right. That's right. And you know why Romo's not going to do it? Because of golf nerds that are going to be like, he didn't play. I can't listen. Like, that's what it's going to be.
Yeah, and I'm
guys
wonderful.
Like you, sports nerd, golf nerds. That are going to be like, I only want to hear from a guy that played on tour.
Yeah.
Meanwhile,
Augusta National following Tiger Woods' 15th hole. Are you familiar with it? Do you know what happens at the 15th
love
hole?
Love the 15th.
What is it?
It's well, that's the one where he had the wrong drop a few years ago.
That is. And he can hit a 225-yard 5 or 6 iron down the hill onto the green.
You know who else can hit that?
Not
Tony
Romo.
Tony Romo. No. Tony
Anthony Romo.
Romo.
Is
Anthony Romo.
Anthony Romo.
Get a guy on the line that played golf with Romo. Seriously, get a pro that was playing within that tournament to talk about how he's not.
I think, you could give Romo a run.
That's what I want, a showdown with Romo. The match number two.
That would be actually a lot of fun.
I'd pay money to watch that.
You can be on his bag, and I'll follow Romo
in a
around.
Cart. I'm not walking.
All right, you can be in a cart.
I refuse to walk a golf
cart. You'd have a tough time watching watching his shots by just clapping in the dormant for Romo.
I love Tony Romo. You know who's a guy who will have a great opinion on this?
Who?
Our Masters correspondent, James Duthie. He's coming up next.
Oh,
he goes
yes.
down to Augusta every year. He knows the way it works.
Okay, he probably doesn't listen to this show. Start out with a simple... I'll ask him the first one.
Okay, you ask him. No context, nothing.
No, just would you have any interest in this particular thing that you brought up?
All right,
and I guarantee you he will say, no way.
Duthie will give us that answer next.
So, the crack staff behind the glass, excluding Al's brother, have come up with some Romo comments... Let's hear the Faldo one first, and let me set up the situation here. Jordan Spieth put his shot on 16. No, no, sorry.
12.
12 in the water. He went to the drop area and folded the sod over a la Brian Hayes at Tam O'Shantern. And cost himself. Then he did it again, I believe.
Right, he was in the lead, too. Let's point that out.
That's right. And this is how Nick Faldo described that big moment.
Oh, my goodness.
That's it.
Yep.
Now you want to hear this from your boy Tony Romo.
This doesn't happen very often. You're going to enjoy this one.
Well,
I don't know if that's really appropriate.
Another one?
Look at this. What a gutsy call with your season on the line.
It's not bad. I mean, the Masters, the green jacket on the line. What a gutsy call.
Gutsy call.
You know.
Yeah, for folding one over the sod.
Eric tweeting and saying, Hayes, your take on Tony Romo is absolutely ridiculous. Kale texting in saying, Hayes is off his rocker today. This is a ridiculous analogy. Romo calling golf is like Shaq calling hockey. No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. It's a completely different sport.
No, it's... Yeah, but he's great at the sport.
Yeah, can Shaq play hockey? I don't think he can.
Not that I'm aware of, anyway. All right, do we have James Duthie, our Masters correspondent? So James is world-renowned for his coverage at Augusta National every year.
Yes, James. Is there anything about Tony Romo covering not only any golfer, Tiger Woods at Augusta National? Would you want to see that?
Wait a second. Before I answer this question, what was everyone's position on this?
Well, your boy Hayes here loves Tony Romo, and he thinks he should start doing golf broadcasts. Not just any golf. Start at the Masters and be the guy on the ground with Tiger Woods. Would you want to hear and see that?
Okay. I'm just pretty sure that in my time at the Masters, I've gotten from a certain member of the Overdrive team who says, I should be on your panel. I'd be better than the guys you have.
And I'll tell you what, that's a kick in the pills.
Yeah.
That's a kick in the pills. And I never said that.
And free swag. You're right, Noodles. Free swag, too.
I don't think you suggested that I should be on the panel, just that I could be on the panel.
Yeah.
This was not time for a low blow like that. This is just time to answer the question that was presented.
You know what? I know what you're saying. Like, and you feel like you need somebody. I think what actually always said to me in the time, sometimes it's tough for us to get guys, and you know, you get a guy who hasn't played. You know, we had Brad Fritchie one year. We couldn't get anybody who'd never played Augusta, and you say, well, you know, how can he comment on the Masters? Well, he can comment on the pro game, but can't comment on playing Augusta National. I think if it was a three-man booth, maybe, like if you need to have one guy, it's not like a Dennis Miller thing because Tony Romo has cred in golf, but I think you would still have to have the other guy, whether it be Faldo or whoever. You need the one golf guy who's won a couple of majors, but I'd be entertained by Romo being up there. He's pretty damn good at golf.
Well, and you just used the operative word. This is the entertainment business. Like, I know the Masters feels far from it, right? Like, it feels far from it because of how stuffy it is, and it's all about the history and the heritage and hello, friends, and all that, and the green jacket. But it's entertainment. It's the sports world we're talking about here. This is not science. You know, this is not the medical field. And yeah. Romo is outstanding at it. I find him thoroughly entertaining. The reason we came across the whole conversation was just about his contract, though, James. Like, that was what I'm pointing to. If ESPN's going to ask, you know, put like $10 million on the line for him to go to ESPN and CBS is going to match, they're probably going to say, okay, we need more out of you.
No.
And that's where I think golf would probably come into play.
But isn't the and I'm sure O's argument is this, and I kind of agree with him, but like the credibility, if a guy's about to hit, as you said, the second shot on 15 or whatever, and Romo's saying, you know, I wouldn't go for it or whatever that may be,
he
hasn't done that. It's one thing in playing in that, whatever that celebrity tournament that he won the last 2 years. What's that thing called? It's one thing playing in that. It's another playing on Sunday at Augusta National. By the way, on 15, I went for it. I hit the...
That's the same as Romo. Nobody cares.
I hit the grandstand, the empty grandstand behind it, went 50 yards in the air and came back into the water.
Even James, like if Tiger Woods hit just like a 200-yard fade with an 8-iron, as good as golfer as Romo is, he wouldn't even know what the hell that is. Not a lot of people do.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. Exactly. Using Tiger Woods as the example for what you're allowed to talk about, that means no one other than Nicholas
I would say this. If you were to do something like that, start him at the John Deere Classic or the Greater Hartford Open or whatever.
Not for $10 million a year. For
$10 million a year, that ain't happening.
But they want him for football.
That's right. $10 million is because he's so good at football.
Yeah, but you guys understand. With the ESPN offer, if it gets to a point where he's doing the first take, he's doing get-up, he's doing PTI, he's doing radio, he's doing everything. He's not just calling 16 games and going home.
You're right. He's doing the car wash.
You're the best radio host in Toronto, and when you cash in with a big deal, and they said, you got to take over for Al's brother with some updates on just because you got to do
more. I'm not sure about that, too, Brian. I'm not sure about that. Like, that guy's so much in demand right now, he can write his own ticket.
Yeah.
And if ESPN's offering that money and he really wants it, he says, okay, here's what I'm doing. I'm doing, you know, your Monday Night Football, whatever it is, and I'll do one appearance on PTI or whatever. You know, I'll do four a year or something like that. That'll all be in there. I think he's in a position where he's not going to suddenly have to do work 18 hours a day or something.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying he's going to be overexposed, but if we're talking the biggest contract in the history of sports media, I think there's going to be more that comes with it than 16 Monday Night Football games.
He'll be tugged in a lot of different directions.
I think so, and also it could be, what does he want to do? I mean, maybe he wants to do other stuff. Anyway, let's move on to this Connor McDavid story that's really starting to pick up steam, and I don't know if you're familiar with it, James.
We're not going to talk at all about the Packers and the Niners, like not one sentence?
Well, go ahead and take me through. Let's recite your original experience in San Francisco watching a playoff game featuring the Niners and Packers so that I can feel good about something.
Okay,
today.
So that was 1998, but it was a 1997 NFC Championship game. I conned my way into a work assignment in L.A. because I was working in Vancouver for a station out there, and flew to San Francisco, got a sideline pass, pretended I was working. I had a cameraman with me. He had no tape in the camera. I broke every ethical rule possible because I said, Jazz, you don't have to shoot anything. We just have to pretend we're working. And I stood on the sidelines the entire game, and Brett Favre and your Packers, Jerry Rice was hurt, and you guys beat Steve Young and my Niners, and I cried all the way home. So I did feel your pain. And I felt bad the other day because I sent out a tweet of a message. I sent you a message that said, why are you flying there to lose by 17? And I felt bad because it looked like I was kind of humiliating you with the message. But the only point I was trying to make was that I predicted the score.
You nailed it. I didn't pick up on that at first because I read my own response. And I'm like, that's exactly what I'm about to do. A red eye home in tears like a loser.
It was my son who said, Dad, why you can't post some of your messages? The guy you're making poor Hazy suffering right now.
No, it's all good.
I said,
man. No,
I was just trying to brag on myself for getting the spread.
You had to. Like, you nailed it. You nailed the 17-point victory.
Yeah, you did.
And it was worse than that. Like, it was, yeah. I jokingly tweeted out, like, hey, it's a respectable score. It was not a respectable game. You got to be feeling pretty good about your team in 2 weeks.
Yeah, it was great. It's going to be weird for me. I'll be professional and unbiased there, but it's the first time I've covered a Super Bowl where I will have a vested interest.
Right.
As a matter of fact, it's the first event I've covered in a long time that I felt like I've really had a vested interest in. So I'll try to be unbiased, I promise.
Yeah, I mean, do you have to go through an ethical course before you fly down there? How does that work here with Big J journalism?
It's all self-regulated, sadly, but I'll be fine. You know what, even it's not like the way I hated Dallas in the old days, or even if it was the Patriots. I like KC, and I didn't really expect the Niners to get there. So if Patrick Mahomes wins the Super Bowl and is brilliant, I'll be fine.
Quickly, before we move on, I've got to revert to our Tony Romo conversation quickly because someone just absolutely dropped the mic via text. In support of Hayes, Joe Rogan was never a pro MMA fighter, but he is the color commentator for the UFC and has been since day one, and he is
exceptional. Isn't he the play-by-play commentator?
No, he's the color guy.
Yeah, he does.
He comments on technicalities, taking guys down to the mat. He is off the charts good.
He is.
He's a comic and a podcast
host.
He's a
very good comic, too. Very good.
And listen, he's into MMA and all that kind of stuff, but there, thank you. Dropping the mic. Are you a Joe Rogan guy?
Are you a Bob Cole fan? I don't think he was ripping home 50 goals doing hockey stuff.
Yeah, but he's doing play-by-play. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Moving on.
This argument has gone off the rails.
We're going to be doing this until 7 o'clock, I guarantee it. Anyway, quickly on McDavid. So our boy Ryan Rashog tweeting out more details, and I guess McDavid's been documenting this, and I believe it's up on YouTube, and it turns out that knee injury he suffered in game 82 a year ago, which immediately the Oilers issued a statement. I don't have it in front of me, but it was basically like, oh, it's a bruise, like it's all good, they'll be fine, just a little bit of rehab. Turns out that it was, you know, bordering on catastrophic, and I'm not using hyperbole here. Like, there were multiple surgeons that were putting forth options for him to have, like, dramatic knee surgery that would have wiped out this whole season and maybe affected the way he played and skated in the future. And he decided instead on a rehab treatment that was very extensive, clearly has worked. But, man, I don't know where to start with this story. Is it the fact that he's playing the way he's playing, or the fact that the info didn't get out? What do you take from this?
So I live up in Aurora where he trains all summer and where he has a house, and people talk. And I did hear some rumblings that it was a really more serious knee injury than had been reported, to the point where I think when Ryan tweeted at the beginning of training camp that McDavid was expected to hopefully start the season, that I think I might have texted him and said, are you sure about that? Because, you know, it wasn't something, a story I chased or anything in the summer, but a bunch of people had said, hey, I've heard McDavid's injury is worse than they're saying. So, you know, those things are funny, right? Some guys have played careers without ACLs, with the ACL missing. I know this is not ACL, so obviously he had at least some sort of medical opinions that said that he could rehab and get strong around it. And he's got guys like Gary Roberts and Matty Nicholson and all those guys that know exactly what the heck they're doing. But I guess it's just another statement of how phenomenal an athlete he is, because there has not been one single hitch whatsoever in his skating.
No,
it makes you worry. Is that still there somehow? If he was to twist it in the wrong way, would that still exist? You know what I mean?
It has
built muscle around it, but that tear still exists? I don't know.
Well, and a lot of those specialists, I guarantee you, they're probably tracking him along the season. He may have to have MRIs or CTs, depending on the way they look at it, just to make sure that they're structurally, it is still the way that they want it. But, you know, this is such a high-level athlete that I guarantee you, like, the Oilers weren't just passing this off to, you know, a Medi Center. Like, they probably had several amazing guys that were involved putting their opinion out. But, you know, Hayes, you were saying off air, and I don't disagree with this, the information process was very kept under wraps. And I don't know what the protocol is, especially in the off season, for Edmonton to report that or at least to get it out. But it sounds like, I mean, McDavid, they kept this mum.
Right. And obviously they believed that was going to benefit him. And I'm sure he was heavily involved saying,
correct,
I don't want it out.
Yeah, like, I don't want it out until I know how it's going to shake out.
But you're talking about the most important player in the world. And it was, the statement issued was effectively, it's nothing.
Yeah,
man.
We'll get back to you.
That,
even
I'm not sure if that's supposed to be the case or not.
We came back early September and McDavid were like, yeah, we don't think he's going to play a game. And remember, we were kind of like, okay.
During the preseason?
Yeah, in the preseason. Yeah. Sorry, in the preseason. Like, that was.
I think they got away with it, guys, because of the summer. That's the only reason you get away with it. The fact that everybody just kind of disappears and he can go off and train. I think if it was during the regular season, you're right, there has to be more disclosure on that. But I think they were able to just say, yeah, it's you know, everybody kind of moved on and went on with their lives. And that was the only reason they were able to get away with not saying much about it.
Yeah, well, we'll find out more, I'm sure, as he gets to the All-Star game and as we move on here.
Heck of a rehab, though, because he looks pretty fantastic.
He does.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
He looks like you'd never know he had any injury whatsoever the way he's been
playing.
Looks
stronger.
That's right. Anyway,
Would you listen to Jeff O'Neill on TSN's Masters coverage if there was somebody else like a Mike Weir or a David Hearn in there with him?
Yes, I would.
He knows his golf.
Mike Weir wouldn't work with him because of the trunk slamming segment on our show. But outside of that, I think I would, every day of the week, I would actually tune in more to listen to what Jeff O'Neill had to say about golf.
You're looking to see a train wreck.
No, not at all. I'm looking for a breakdown, and I want you to say this guy just soiled himself on 16.
No, that's right.
You would say you just soiled yourself, Jeff, on the set, and I can see it, and that's all
No.
I think that is a valid comparison. Odell's one of the best hockey analysts in the country,
yep,
and he's good at golf. Tony Romo's maybe the best football analyst out there, and he's good at golf.
Let's send him to the Masters.
I would listen to Romo in a three-man booth. And I would listen to O-Dog in the three-man booth.
Yeah, so would I. Khaki suit, swamp ass, would be outstanding.
Berman-ish.
Just a full O-Dog,
if Sean Redmond or Stu or Natalie, our bosses, called you Kenny Bolden tomorrow and said, we listen to James, or we think it's a good idea, you're going to the Masters, you're not going to say no, are you?
I probably wouldn't say no. Five years ago or 10 years ago, I would have said no, but not now.
But I can't have you because you know my Masters rule. I only let really skinny guys like Weeksy and David Hearn, so I look bigger with my men's small.
Well, yeah, they all wear very tight shirts down there. Yeah.
Boys, medium is out.
I'm just starting my training routine for my. I'm going to go down to boys small this year.
Yeah,
before action, I know you do 85 arm curls on each arm.
No, just the one arm, the right arm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Get the pump going. You are on fire down there. All right,
How long till we're back? I need to do 20 push-ups.
We'll catch you from the Super Bowl next week.
All right, guys, take it easy.
There's James Duffy. Ray Ferraro in about 20 minutes. Back into the McDavid story. We'll get into the Leafs a little bit. The Raptors red hot. We're tracking the Hall of Fame. We know Jeter's getting in. Larry Walker, he's a little bit uncertain if he's going to get there or not. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, so we have a pair of Leaf tickets to give away this week. Leafs taking on Florida February 3rd. Every day this week, we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And on Friday, you have a chance to call in and name that Leaf. Today's clue, this player has eclipsed the 40-point plateau just three times over his career. All right. There you go. You guys see this NFL draft in Vegas and their plans for it?
The stage is going to be on the waterfall at Bellagio.
That was the original report. The NFL has updated that. So the stage is actually going to be beside Caesar's Palace, but they're going to be setting up the red carpet for the draftees to arrive on via boat on the water at the Bellagio. So I don't know how they're going to do that with TV, and this is probably drones will be involved in all that, and I guess they'll have someone on the red carpet doing interviews and all that kind of stuff. But like Joe Burrow is going to take a boat and ride on the Bellagio waterfall or whatever, not waterfall, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And walk down the red carpet. There it is up on TSN4. And then I guess jump off and walk over to Caesar's Palace for the draft. That is so Vegas.
Yeah, it is a bit much.
I like
it. He's going to realize he's going from Vegas to Cincy.
Yeah, it'll dawn on him about halfway through that walk. It'll dawn on him that this is not his backyard. Yeah. Someone is. The Raiders, I think, have two picks in the first round. Two guys are going that night down that red carpet over to Caesar's Palace
right
and then staying in Vegas.
Right to P.F. Chang's.
Right to P.F. Chang's to hang out with the owner.
To meet up with Mark Davis.
Right.
I love the Chang's.
Do you think there's a chance someone is going to either fall in the water?
Yeah.
Like, no one's going to jump in because it's before the draft.
No.
Someone would jump in.
They have the Laramie Tunsil meeting, and it's like, they don't want those guys in that town anywhere after the draft. Just get out and go be with your family. Yeah, it's the worst place for a draft.
It's true.
It is true.
You don't
amazing,
want Vegas.
Mine was in Hartford, Connecticut. We could only go to our hotel, which was out in the middle of nowhere, and they kicked us out of like the restaurant at 9:30.
You know, it's never the player, but it's a family member or part of the posse. Like my brother and my draft was in Buffalo, 91. My brother, like, went missing for 2 days. Like, I think. I don't remember. I just remember, like, he wasn't around. And then, like, told me later about, like, I think he was up in Niagara Falls or something like that.
Sounds right.
But he had a time. He enjoyed himself.
Can you imagine if it was in Vegas? Vegas
exactly.
In 91.
So a family member.
Would still be down there.
Well, we did have another incident when I was playing in the IHL in my family came to visit, and we played a game in Vegas.
Here they
come.
That
was in the minors, though. That's, you know, you can do anything in the minors.
Right. So. But you're right, though. The agents and the teams are going to be like, we're selecting you, and now that you're officially a part of our brand.
Get out.
I don't want to see pictures of you hanging off a chandelier at Tao nightclub tonight. You know, it cannot happen. Don't let it happen. But I kind of wish that red carpet was after, because I do think someone would jump in.
Oh, just like, greased, yeah.
In celebration, you know
for
what
sure.
I mean? Like, just, I followed through on my dream. I got drafted. I'm so happy. I'm jumping into the Bellagio.
Oh, yeah. I think you could, but it's more about, I think it's the extended family involved, which can get yourself into a bind.
I think you're probably right.
Because there is no curfew for them. There was no cameras following them.
They're so happy it's
in
Vegas.
And they are so happy.
Yeah. Good for you, buddy.
Yeah.
I'll see you later.
Exactly.
I've got some plans tonight. Someone sent me a DM on Instagram because I think he knew we were going to be talking about Larry Walker. And at 6:15, they're going to announce who gets into Cooperstown. At this point, we know it's going to be Jeter. Probably unanimous.
Right.
Second time in history. Following Mariano Rivera a year ago. So back-to-back Yankees likely going in with 100% of the vote.
Right.
It's the last year of eligibility on this ballot for Larry Walker. He's got to get to 75% of the vote. He tweeted out earlier this afternoon he doesn't think he's going to get there based on his calculations, and I'm not sure exactly where he's getting that from. But it's a big push-up here. He's a Canadian. Arguably the greatest ball player in the history of our country or right there. MVP, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Played for Montreal. But someone sent me a note about his family members' names. And I can't believe it. I love it. For this alone, he should be in the Hall of Fame. His dad's name, also Larry. So Larry Walker is a junior.
Right.
His dad's name is Larry. His mom's name is Mary.
Yes.
And he has three brothers, Barry, Kerry, and Gary.
Come on, stop.
So Larry, Mary, Barry, Kerry, Gary, and Larry. Put him in the Hall of Fame.
He should have one other brother, Daryl.
Exactly.
Remember that one?
The
Larry,
Newhart.
Daryl and
Bob Newhart.
Maybe Wendell. Maybe a Wendell. A cousin named Wendell. Yeah. That and more coming up in the next hour. Track in Cooperstown. Ray Ferraro as well. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.